Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. If God provided you a distinguished and broad platform to serve others, how would you respond to that opportunity? Miss Hawaii 1991 Lani Stone Ka'a'a has invested her life in the service of others. As a coach and mentor to many young women, including Candace Mehide Gentry, Miss Hawaii 1999, Miss Hawaii 2012, Lauren Cheap Matsumoto, and most recently, Chelsea Hardin, Miss Hawaii USA 2016, and Julie Chu, Miss Hawaii USA 2018. Lani Stone Ka'a'a's life has been influenced by her relationship with God. And so we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio broadcast is to bring you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ, to the one who loves you, who knows what you're facing right now. You might say, Danny, you don't know what I'm going through, and you're right, but God knows, and God loves you in the midst of your moment. It may be quite challenging right now. You might feel like you're in a very dark place. Your back is against the wall. Dear friend, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Lani Stone Ka'a'a, is here to touch your life as well. Lani Stone Ka'a'a, well, her passion for policy and politics has led her to be active in several political campaigns as a grassroots campaign coordinator, policy advisor, and campaign coordinator in the 2014 and 2018 Hawaii gubernatorial races. She's married to Stephen. They have two sons, Pono and Josiah. Lani, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kaneohe, born and raised there most of my life. Went to school in town at University Lab School, but pretty much born and raised in the country.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Sure. I would say my stepfather. He was my father since I was 2 years old, and a great community servant himself, really expressed to us both in action and in word that the most important thing we can do is to be something for somebody else, is to use our gifts and talents to change the world, just as he did.
What do you think, Lani, inspired your dad to believe that, to convey that to you?
Definitely Jesus Christ. I think he was born in a hard life, and we always knew that he had to survive when he was young, but God really helped him through that, and he knew that, and he loved the Lord, and he taught us to love the Lord as well. He showed us what it was to serve others. I think he was inspired because he knew that whatever he had was not his because he was something amazing, but because he was given it to be used for the good of other people. So he was a longtime coach in the community, a longtime mentor to many, many, many coaches that we have today. He was a mentor to Dave Shoji. He was a mentor to Charlie Wade. He passed a couple years ago, and I would say that it was the most amazing service because the people that came, came in humility just to honor him for his service. And though probably most people wouldn't know his name, the people that were there surely understood the difference that he made.
You mentioned your dad's spiritual spiritual focus, spiritual the impetus to his life, mm-hmm. Lonnie. Your journey, take us on your spiritual journey. How did your relationship mm-hmm. with God grow? Tell us.
Yeah. You know, my relationship with God was probably less strong than my dad would have liked. when I left high school and went to college, I kind of went on my own and did my thing, lived in the world, really didn't do really well there. In fact, I think when I look back on my life, most of the time when I haven't had relationship with God, it hasn't gone well. But God really brought me back to him in my early 20s. I came back. I was born and raised in the Catholic Church and knew that there were certain important things to achieve as a Catholic, but decided to sort of buck the system and not really go that way. And so when I came back in my 20s, my dad was there, and he asked me to come back to the church, and he asked me to be confirmed in the church, which is a very important step, somewhat like a baptism, but a choice of your own to have a relationship with Jesus. And he said, if you do this, I will mentor you and I will be your sponsor to become, to make that decision. And so in my early 20s, I made that choice. And I think that was really the start to a clear personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I came to understand him as my personal Lord and Savior. That he talks to me every day. It was pretty exciting, but when I met him, I was in a really low spot in my life, and I felt like I desperately needed a friend, and he was that for me, definitely. And right on the heels of that, the Lord opened up the opportunity for me to run for Miss Hawaii. And though I was absolutely not ready for it, the Lord just said that, doesn't matter, you know, he will qualify those that are called. And I really didn't understand that back then. I look back now and I get that. But I was 175 pounds and had never worn makeup before. I was a jock and never walked in heels before. I hadn't even plucked my eyebrows once. And so it was really funny to me that somebody would think that I might do something like that.
Take us back to that moment where you mentioned somebody thought mm-hmm. You should take a step in mm-hmm. this direction. Mm-hmm. And what took place?
You know, it was one of my best friends, and she had seen me through the really rough times. And I think she saw a potential for change. And I don't know that she understood what she was asking or what might happen. She just knew that I needed clarity, that I needed something in my life that would give me purpose and that would give me a goal and help me to get out of pretty much a lost situation. I had sort of lost my interest in my future. I had given up all sports, which was really my life growing up. I was a four-sport athlete. I was very driven. My father being a coach was very driven for me as well. And so when all of that stopped, it's a question I think many athletes face is, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. I've only done one thing all my life. And this really provided a chance for me to try something different. But it was really scary, because if you've never stepped out of your comfort zone.
See, you speak about something where I think many can relate with. Certainly athletes can relate mm-hmm. with it. I mean, because your identity is so much into, it could be a sport or the sports that you play, right? But more broadly than that, identity. Mm-hmm. You give yourself to something that becomes who you are, and then when it's taken away. So how did that, and I'm imagining now, you can correct me, that this has something to do with the dark place or the
sure,
trying place in your life at that time mm-hmm. where you needed direction. Mm-hmm. But someone listening right now could be in that quagmire of no man's land, so to speak, in life.
Yeah,
it's like suspended animation. I mean, you're there, but you're not really there because you just exist, right?
Yeah.
So, what went on inside when your friend began to suggest you consider this competition and getting engaged in this pageant?
Yeah, I think I have to back up a little off that moment. I had really dropped out of school. I had flunked out of college. I stopped going to class. I mean, really lost all identity. Was in a very, very bad place. And my sister came. I was living in Colorado at the time. I had no intention of coming back to Hawaii because I just felt like I just needed a new start. And she saved me. She came and she packed me up and said, you need to come home. You need to reconnect with the people that love you. And so I grudged about it, but I did it. Mm. And when I came home, I got involved in a group of very talented people. What I didn't know about them was they all knew the Lord. And I think God put me in that space to allow me to hear about him. And I think if there is a person out there that is in the spot that I was in, I would say, if a door opens up, go. Because God has something for you there. And it may seem like a door that you would never have thought to walk through before, but go and just try. Because when you're in that place, God loves you so much that he is going to be there even when you don't want him there or when you don't know he's there. And walking through that door of uncertainty, but just put one foot in front of the other and walk, he has something amazing for you, really amazing for you.
Lani Stone Ka'a, sent by God today, this moment, to share a word that if you respond, if you take that step to a door that's open, that God has provided, your life will be changed. There is hope in the Lord. When we come back from our break, more from Lani. As you can tell, when we hold ourselves together in a moment like this, to share, to go back and to dig deep of a moment in the past, it's not just for the sake of doing it. It's for redemptive purposes. It's because we have seen the hand of God in the midst of our low points, in the midst of our brokenness. And there is hope in Jesus who gives focus, direction, and purpose. Stay with us. We'll be back.
During the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So, you know the name, Lani Stone Ka'a, Miss Hawaii 1991. She's worked as a print, television, and runway model in Hawaii. She's also taught professional modeling statewide for Susan Page Modeling. Modeling, Miss Hawaii. But before our break, she shared where she came from and how God used that to lead to the life that she lives today. She shares it as a way of conveying hope. Hope in spite of any circumstance. And if you're tuning in right now, or maybe did catch the tail end of the last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download it. And as we typically say, go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. Lani, when did your journey that led to winning the Miss Hawaii crown, when did things begin to turn for you?
Sure. Yeah. I love to tell this story because many people who hear my name and know that I have been Miss Hawaii don't realize how I became Miss Hawaii. So I started a journey, took a step to participate in a pageant, not ever thinking that I'd win even the first one. And God was faithful and good. And in that whole process, I think he just was teaching me about what he's created me to be, I think. And so after winning the preliminary, I did go to Miss Hawaii, to compete, and I competed 2 years. And the first year I went, it was terrifying. And all I wanted to do was make it through without falling apart because I had never done anything like this before. I made a ton of mistakes. It was a harrowing experience. But I ended up, doing pretty well, because, I think I had found, a challenge to expand myself, to try something different. And so after the first time I competed, I was never going to do it again. That was a one and done kind of thing for me, and I was going to move on. I had plans to graduate from college, and I had always wanted to get into public service. That's from my father. He had also worked at the legislature, so I had a taste of politics, and that was where I was headed. But I had a good friend who knew the Lord as well and said, you know, you are gifted to be in pageantry. Not everyone is. It's a privilege. You've put a lot of work into it. Give it another shot. And so I felt like one more time. And so I did it. And the entire time I did it, the second time, I said, okay, Lord, I am just going to give this all to you. Nothing for myself, no glory for myself. I'm just going to do it with gratefulness in my heart. Absolute 100% everyday gratefulness. And so I approached it differently. The night of the program, I was very excited because I was excited to do all that God had allowed me to learn to do. Again, never expecting to win. And so right before I stepped on the stage of that second year at Miss Hawaii, it's all very exciting. It's live television. Your whole family's out there. The crowd is going crazy. And in the middle of that noise, I hear the Lord say to me, it's the first time I had audibly heard his voice. And he said to me, you will be first runner up. And I thought, huh, okay. why? But never mind. Let's just get through this day. And sure enough, at the end of the night, my name was called as first runner up. And I stepped forward. I received my award. I thought, well, that turned out differently than what I was thinking it was going to turn out. But I went on my way and I said, Lord, I'm just going to continue to march one foot in front of the other. I became a lobbyist for the Local Five. I started to learn the ropes of lobbying, got involved in the legislative process. 3 months later, the young lady who actually won Miss Hawaii was Carolyn Sapp. And I think many people listening would probably know that she went on to Miss America in September, had the national program, and was the first Miss Hawaii to become Miss America. And while many people go, wow, that's really exciting, what they don't realize is then the first runner-up becomes Miss Hawaii. And so for me, the night of Miss America, I was doing what I love to do, which was go to the season opener of the UH football game in shorts and a t-shirt, ponytail, no makeup. And as I walked into the Aloha Stadium, one of my dear friends saw me and yelled across the entire parking lot, "There's our new Miss Hawaii." Shorts, t-shirt, you know, looking terrible. And I just looked at him like, "What are you talking about?" And I walked in the stadium, and over the loudspeaker, they announced, and this is the first time I hear it, that Carolyn Sapp has now just become Miss America. And in my heart, I knew what that meant for me. And I'm walking down the stairs to get to my seat, and I just crumble, and I start to cry. Because I realize that God did it that way so that I would know that it was all because of Him and not because of my own doing. And He had a plan. And it was a perfect plan. And so I love telling that story because God is faithful.
You get the word. Your life changes in a moment. Literally in a moment. There at the Aloha Stadium. What doors did God begin to open for you, Lonnie?
Yeah.
Since becoming Miss Hawaii?
Yeah. Numerous. I can't even explain how many. Not only the opportunity to serve, which, you know, every title holder has what we call a platform, something that we want to promote for our year. And my year, I wanted to promote getting involved and volunteering in your community. Use your gifts and talents to make a difference wherever you're at. Don't wait to become something before you share. I had been coaching volleyball since ninth grade. It's the only gift and talent I had at the time. And so I promoted that, and I was able to join a program that promoted volunteerism in middle schools, along with the governor's wife, Lynn Waihea. And so I was able to literally get involved in public service with the wife of the highest serving politician in the state, and he became my friend. And so that alone has really made a difference. All the amazing people I've been able to network and meet have shaped my life, absolutely. Very differently than I think it ever would have been shaped had I not taken that step to just try the first pageant.
You mentioned before our break, you admonished someone, a friend who's listening, a friend of our show. If you're in that tough spot, an opportunity is there. Did you have a tinge of an idea of where God was going to take you at the time before you took the step that you did?
Not at all. Not at all. No.
You know, I'm thinking about Ephesians 3:20. And my God is able to do exceeding abundantly, above and beyond all that you could ever ask or think. And you embody that. But not only do you embody that, Lonnie, you embody that as a message to someone today.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know what God is going to do, the great things that God will do. You didn't just keep it to yourself, though. You have been passing it on. Mm-hmm. Sharing your life with others. I want you to share about that. But I read about a moment as Miss Hawaii, Lonnie, when you were dancing the Hawaiian wedding song with Danny Kalaikini. Mm-hmm. It was before a crowd of Japanese visitors, right? What happened?
Oh, well, that was probably the most humbling. It was the first time I had stepped out to do a public appearance as Miss Hawaii. I had been crowned earlier that day by Carolyn, who had come back from her reign as Miss America, as is tradition, and received a public acknowledgement of becoming Miss Hawaii. My friends and family were there. It was quite special for me. And Danny Kalaikini whisked me off to a private event of Japanese to dance the wedding song for him. I had danced for him before as a Polynesian dancer, so we had a relationship. And unbeknownst to me, my crown was not quite pinned on my head. So I danced, and as I did this really dramatic scoop in order to sort of embody the climax of the song, my crown tumbled straight forward off my head and horrified the entire, because in Japan, a title holder is very special. I mean, they worship crowns. And when that crown fell off my head, it was a gasp so loud, and it was horrifying for all of them. And I looked at Danny, and Danny just kind of had a big smile and a laugh. I picked up the crown. I put it back on my head. I finished the song. Tremendously humbling, real situation for me.
I've always been amazed, Lonnie, how God has endowed certain people like yourself with such grace. Well, how did you get involved with your mentoring of others? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, we went through a list of winners.
Yeah.
How'd you get involved?
Yeah. You know, it's been my privilege. Again, my dad always taught me, take what you have and serve others. And I can't even tell you the number of people that helped to bring me to that place of being able to compete. Endless amount of people that came forward.
Like who and what?
Sure. Bill Smith was my first executive director. He heads Vacations Hawaii, has a heart for young women. Kevin Kaneshiro also. There have been Tom McGarvey, who's now passed on, Ray Abergano. There are a number of people who volunteered decades of their life to help young women, never getting any kind of recognition. And so when I was able to turn it around and help somebody else, one of the first people I got to help was Brooke Lee. She had decided to run for Miss Hawaii. She's a distant cousin in my family and just a dear friend. Was able to kind of mentor her through several programs that she attempted.
Brooke Lee Miss Universe.
Correct. Yeah. And until she won Miss Hawaii USA and then went on to Miss USA and ultimately Miss Universe. But that was the first time I sort of stepped out and tried to just do something that someone had done for me. And then over the years, I've just completely said yes. Anytime there's been a young woman, and it's not because I'm looking for the winner, it's because I know a life-changing experience is potentially going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if that can happen for another young woman who can then potentially change another young woman's life, I will do it over and over and over again. And it's really been my privilege to do that.
I have an annoying question.
Sure.
But we'll save it for when we come back for the break. I wonder about people's perceptions and abilities to see certain things, but that's a bit enigmatic. Where am I going with that? When we come back from our break, I'll ask it. But dear friend, this is a program of hope. This is a program of restoration. This is a program of redemption. It's a program of hope that is found in God through faith in Jesus Christ. Here's a woman whom God is using, has used, and will continue to use. And today, you don't have to be a woman. You can be a man like me. Stand here, sit here, inspired by what God marvelously can do above and beyond all that we can ask or think. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Hopefully I've whet your appetite, maybe tantalized you a little bit. What question are you going to ask, Danny, you say, before the break? I wonder about perceptions. What is it that people see? Like, for example, what does Lonnie Stone see or look for when she sees potential talent that's going to change the life of a contestant of the Miss Hawaii pageant? Do you ever wonder that? Well, I certainly do. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Lonnie Stone Ka'a. Find out more about this program and shows, programs, features. We have hundreds and hundreds of them available for you at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And remember, a slice of The Good Life at goodlifeslice.com, our national and international broadcast that is broadcast daily. So, Lonnie, what do you look for when you see a young woman of potential talent?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I wouldn't say I really look for anything. Mm. If God leads me to help a young woman, I just trust that. Because I have found that it's not because they have a certain something that they have the potential. Sometimes the most unlikely turn out to be the most impactful. And I don't say that they win. I say that their life is changed. Mm-hmm. There have been, I've been able to work with, I would say, hundreds of young women. Some have won, a few have won. And that's been nice to see that fruition of the work. But I would say just as often, and even more so, the fruition of the work is in those who don't necessarily get the crown, but whose lives have been changed. The direction of who they thought they were going to become has completely changed. I think what if you had to pinpoint one thing that makes the difference between the young woman who has transformation and not, is simply a matter of timing and a matter of courage. Because this journey that every young woman takes when she decides to do a pageant is an internal one more so than anything else.
let's talk more about courage.
Sure.
What is that, and how does that translate into pageant life?
Yeah, you know what people may or may not realize is that what a pageant does is it really challenges almost every aspect of who you are, your intellect, your physique, your talent, your beauty, and it's judged. And it is extremely a critical situation you put yourself into, like any competition where there's judgment. So the idea of courage is that idea to come to the place where you are okay to be okay in all the areas. I tell many young women, nobody's perfect. Nobody's a 10 in everything. Assess who you really are. Know who you really are. Love every part of who you are and love every part of who somebody else is. Because there's three parts to a program, to a pageant. And I always tell young women, you really only can kind of control one third of it. The others, two thirds are the other girls who show up on the same day at the same time and the judges who show up to judge. And so it's only one third of what of the outcome really is that you have some input into. Do the best at that one third and then let the rest go.
Hmm. Now, over time, Lonnie, you've been involved in public service. Mm-hmm. Your dad inspired you, public service. But your passion began to move towards policy, politics. How did that grow?
Mm-hmm. I think I've always been more passionate about policy and politics, public service. I always felt like the highest level of serving others happens in public service, in that process that happens in the square building, as we call it here in the state. And so even in high school, I opted to be a senator. For a day, joined that program, got a taste of it, was always in school council, really tried to get myself involved in leadership that would make change for the body that I was serving.
Describe your involvement in political campaigns.
Yeah. So I had been in the legislature working as the chief of staff for Senator Brian Taniguchi for many years. I always wanted to some point become a policy maker because I had been writing a lot of policy and researching it, and it's always been so fascinating for me. But I learned a lot about the partisanship as well as some of the working inside of the square building. And it can be discouraging at times because as much as I wanted to believe when I first went in there that that everything happened in a very objective fashion, I think there's a lot more that goes on that many people don't realize. And learning a little bit more about how policy is truly made in the state of Hawaii, I think Senator Taniguchi said it well to me once. He said, you know, everybody in this building has a heart to serve their people. And at the end, that happens. Sometimes getting to the end doesn't necessarily look great, but the end result always serves the people of Hawaii. And I do agree with that.
You've been involved as a grassroots coordinator also. Mm-hmm. What does that entail?
Sure. Really, it's an outreach. It's getting the community to, first of all, I used to say waking the sleeping giant and getting them out of bed. Because here in Hawaii, we really struggle to have our local people get involved, even to vote, even to spend time learning about what's out there and who their candidate is. So grassroots and campaigning community engagement has been something that has been a passion of mine because I really believe that a good government and a quality community is one that is educated and is active in the outcomes that happen both at elections and in the legislative process, which happens every year.
What's your take on it now as far as if we were to say the thermometer of involvement, waking the sleeping giant, where are we?
You know, I would have to say that in the last 10 years, 10 years ago, I was involved in really getting the church involved in the legislative process. We created the iVote process and went out to churches to engage people to register them. Back 10 years ago, it was very difficult. It was very difficult for people to understand that getting involved in government was a responsibility and a right. I think many people, when I went into the faith community particularly, felt that that was not an arena that they wanted to be involved in. I think today we see a lot more engagement, and I love that. Even though I don't know that, you know, the outcomes have necessarily looked like there has been a move of the thermometer, I truly believe that the community is becoming engaged. People are educating themselves more, and the idea of talking about public engagement in the church and in the body of faith has become a norm where before it was taboo.
Lonnie Stone Ka'a has also served as leading in the campaigns for Andrea Tupola, Duke Iona. So when we come back from our break, we'll talk more about her role, maybe even some lessons that she's learned along the way, perhaps even what's ahead. What may some of the future involvement entail? Maybe how you can be involved, dear friend. You see, God is at work in all of these things in our lives. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of them. And sometimes more than that, given an opportunity to engage. That's a beautiful thing. The sleeping giant awakens. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is calling you. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Solani Stone-Ka'a was the campaign coordinator 2014, Duke Iona's campaign. 2018, Andrea Tupola's campaign. I wonder, what lessons has she learned here? And so what were some of the lessons that you learned, Lani?
You know, I think one of the lessons, obviously, is that running a campaign statewide in the state of Hawaii is difficult. It's a very lethargic community when it comes to voting. So the effort is quite large. There's some really great things. I think there's an engaged community out there waiting to be asked to participate. In Duke's campaign, it was a very... it was the third time he was running, a seasoned team of people who had done this many times. And his approach to it and his work was really in media and outreach and debate and policy. And so for him, that really worked. I think when I worked with Andrea, she was an amazing and hardworking community outreach person. She likes to get her hands dirty. She likes to get right in the middle of everything going on in the community and really hear the voice of the people. And I was refreshed by that. But my overall thought is, when you're running in a campaign in the state of Hawaii, first of all, the state is gracious. The state is full of very loving people, but they are hurting people as well. And I think what I learn more and more every time I go out on the campaign trail is that the hurt is getting greater. Life is getting a lot tougher for people. And we need to do something about that. And so that's kind of what drives me, what keeps my passion up, because I don't know that is being, their needs are being met at this point.
So you represent the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. We're in a Democratic state. Mm-hmm. What, Lani, when you talk about hurting people, mm-hmm. what is it that the Republican Party can offer mm-hmm. that the Democratic Party is not able to offer? Mm-hmm. What value does the Republican Party bring? The underlying intuition behind this is, why do we need a two-party system? Mm-hmm. We have a technical two-party system, but we don't have it in reality
right
here.
Right.
What does Republican have to offer?
Yeah, I think that the balance needs to come back. I don't know that we've ever really had great balance. My first 10 years in the legislature, I was a Democrat. I worked as the chief of staff for Senator Taniguchi. Mm-hmm. Who is a strong Democrat and a wonderful person. And I sometimes laugh because I say to myself, I think I'm the only person who went from being a Democrat to becoming a Republican working in the party system. So being able to see both the side that's in control and the side that is small and not in control has been very eye-opening for me. But regardless of the party, I think a two-party system allows for better conversation, allows for better evaluation of some of the very critical bills that we have. And every bill is critical, but there have been some important ones that have been, I don't think, fully debated because there was nobody talking about the other points. And so a two-party system allows for that. At the end of the day, what they vote on and what happens is what happens. But let's have a full conversation about many things that are affecting our lives, both economically, socially, in the realm of education, in the realm of health, for our older people, for our babies. There are so many issues that are critical. Our state is small. And I really believe a full conversation only happens in a balanced system.
So going forward, what will happen from your vantage point if, in the midst of the hurt that exists, mm-hmm. that you observe, mm-hmm. that Andrea observes, what will happen if we remain on the path that we're on mm-hmm. without change, without some openness to the balance of power, the pendulum swinging back the other way in order to allow or enable the engagement to take place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I fear for the state if we don't get to a place where we can have full conversations. I've always reminded of the Lord's word that says a house divided cannot stand. And right now, even in the Democratic Party, we have two houses, but both houses are divided. And so regardless of whether we have a one-party system right now or we have a two-party balance system, our house needs to be unified. Our people need to understand that we can have a healthy debate, but we all need to have respect for each other, and we need to come to a place where we can move forward for the best of the state. And I know that sounds extremely idealistic, but I happen to believe that there are a lot of people who want to see that happen. They're not in it for themselves. They are truly in it for the state of Hawaii and for the people going forward, so that our kids are not leaving, so that we can actually build a state that our kids can be proud of and remain in. And I think when we get to a place where we can begin to talk with each other again and put aside some of our differences that have really bubbled up in the past maybe 10 years, I think you'll start to see less partisanship and more working together. Because even 15 years ago, when I was at the legislature, we didn't have as many Republicans then either, but we had a level of conversation that allowed for good legislation to come through. And right now, I don't even think we're there, even if we have a one-party system.
Why did you make the transition? Why did you transition? What motivated you from being a Democrat to a Republican?
I think the Lord was working on my heart. I was working in the late 90s for the senator, and it was kind of at my end, the end of my time with him. We came across the traditional marriage, Con Am, and I was on the judiciary staff that was working on that bill and that legislation. And it broke my heart to see that they were intentionally crafting a measure that would caused the people to vote for it, even though I knew that the wording in it was not intended to create traditional marriage as between a man and a woman, but it was actually to create the legislature's ability to define marriage. That sort of was my path toward a pause in what I was doing, because I started to wonder if I was really in the right place that God would want me to be. And interestingly, at that moment, right after that measure passed and we moved into the next session, I got a call from an extremely powerful Democrat in Congress to run for office myself. And I hung up the phone on that conversation and I prayed, "What would you want me to do, Lord?" And the word was no. You know, as long as I had wanted to do this, as much as I had worked toward it, this was not the door that I was supposed to walk through. And while I didn't understand it, I was obedient and I said no. And I remember saying to that very powerful gentleman, "Maybe in 10 years, I'll come back." And I hung up the phone and I left the legislature and I began to really seek the Lord for what he really wanted in my life. 10 years later, almost to the day, I got a call from the Republican minority caucus leader, who at the time was Aaron Johansson, asking me to come back and manage the Republican minority caucus in the House. And that was crazy, because I was being asked to come back to the square building in a different party after being very much a part of the Democratic Party. It was humbling. It was very humbling. But I went and saw many of the legislators I had worked with in the past. I asked for their blessing. I told them what I was planning to do. And I came back to work 10 years later, but as a Republican. And it was only through sort of God's provision that I was able to walk through those doors.
In the face of a defeat, mm-hmm. a campaign defeat, mm-hmm. how do you pick yourself up? Or how does a Republican Party pick up mm-hmm. and go forward with perhaps even greater resolve mm-hmm. for the next go around?
Mm-hmm. I think what I have learned just working in the last actually three governor's races is that every time there is a defeat, there's also a build. There's an internal build. There's an internal momentum. And what we need to continue to do is build on that momentum. And unfortunately, sometimes the momentum comes and goes with the candidates. And we need to start to build a momentum that goes beyond just the candidate. It goes toward what we see as far as the future of Hawaii, as far as wanting change, wanting balance. I think the Republican Party would benefit not from hinging their hopes on a candidate, but on a message. And I think that they're starting to really turn the corner on that. And we're seeing a lot more people that are independent coming to the place of needing to have answers. Because to be honest with you, I think so many people are hurting now that what used to be okay with them, what used to be things that they didn't pay attention to, they're now realizing this makes a difference. And so they're waking up to the need to participate. And so messaging is going to be extremely important.
Lonnie, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your heart, your life. And with the undercurrent of hope, you are a blessing. Captivating words from Lonnie Stone Ka'aha. My friend, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And hey, if you haven't done so, I believe this is a perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation video for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Daniel 2, verse 21, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Lonnie Stone Ka'aha. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.